So how about we go into the picks of the week?
Can I just get a drink? Can I get a drink first?
I think you should get a drink first.
Okay, one sec.
Tall and tan and young and lovely, the girl from Ipanema goes walking, and when she passes Seattle, she says, Gnome Dex! When she smiles, she looks like a samba that moves so smooth and sways so gentle. And when she passes, each one she passes goes, ah.
Okay. I'm back.
And I'm drinking Diet Coke, that is.
Yeah.
Ah. Good times.
W.
X.
Crazy.
Ding, ding, ding.
From beyond any known galaxy, bringing with them the laws and ideals of their doomed planet, Thundera, come...
Thundercats. Ho.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the 44th episode of Thundercats, the podcast for friend feeders, with friend feeders, and by friend feeders. I'm Johnny Worthington from Brisbane, Australia.
And I'm Josh Haley from Houston, Texas.
And we are the Thundercats.
Oh.
Hello, sir.
Greetings and salutations.
How are you?
I am okay. I'm doing okay. And how about you?
I am well also. And wow, what an electric start to the episode.
End credits.
Excuse me while I ingest this lolling Red Bull into my veins. Oh, that's better.
Okay, uploading the episode now. We are done. Thank you, everybody, for joining us.
How was your week?
My week was interesting because I got called to be a juror. I got jury duty. And
Was it a hilarious Pauly Shore movie?
No, quite the opposite. The opposite. It was a very somber experience. And we were in... I went in on a Tuesday morning and got released on a Thursday afternoon. It was most sobering.
Did you get to go home?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's not one of those sequestered hotel things. That's only for when you're like the media is after you or something, and there's too.
So it's
much.
Not like that Simpsons episode where they start chucking shit out the window.
Nah, we got sent home every day, pretty much 5 o'clock.
Okay.
So I had to pay for parking 3 times. Yay. Downtown Houston, good times.
No, hang on. You got called up to do a public service, and they made you pay for parking.
Yeah, but they made me pay $5.50 instead of $8.50. I got a juror's discount.
Well, still, Houston, lick my nutsack.
Well, you know, they did offer an option, and that is to take the metro system down, the bus system. So technically, I could have parked it. Maybe about 5 miles away from my house, parked my car, and got a bus pass for free to catch the bus to downtown and back. And I chose not to do that.
Wouldn't you think that the level of people who try and get out of jury duty that actually be at like incentives, come down, get a free cocktail and a set of steak knives?
No, I think they're trying to rely on people's sense of civic duty, as well as paying them cash money. You do get $6 for your first day for showing up, and you get $36 a day if you actually get chosen on a jury, and for each day that you're on that jury.
Awesome. So you got a paycheck.
Well, I didn't get anything yet, but theoretically I'm supposed to get something. I guess that would be 72 plus 6. That's $78.
Minus parking, you've made about a $60 profit.
Yeah, but I'll probably just... donate it to the fund. They have like this thing where you can just donate it to the system and people that need it, like the victims and so forth. Cause you know, might as well. Anyway, I was going to say I had a profound experience. It was my first time doing jury duty. I wrote about it and I've sent that to you and a few other people that were interested in hearing about the details. Cause the details are something I didn't want to have on my main feed. They're just so heinous that that I didn't want to expose that to just anybody. So
well, I'd, li- just on that, I actually had to stop halfway through reading that and go and take a break because my brain was getting fried.
Yeah, sorry about that. I kind of went verbose at the very beginning on the whole experience of jury duty. And then when it got down to the nitty-gritty details, I wanted to hurry up and be done with the writing. So it just kind of went that way.
Well, I know it's been said by a few other people, but thank you, sir, for doing that. That is a very important part of living in a democracy and a society, and not enough people take it as seriously as you do. And even though I don't live in your country, I do admire and I'm very proud of the way you you did that.
Well, thanks.
It takes some balls.
Well, I appreciate that. It does take a pretty strong constitution, your own constitution, to be able to get through that. A lot of people were rattled right during the jury selection phase, and that pretty much shook people that wouldn't probably do well in the jury, right off the get-go. But I appreciate your comments. That means a lot, especially, like you said, you're not even an American citizen, and you're, standing up for my American citizenship and all that, and I appreciate that. And you similar system in your neck of the woods, right?
Yeah. Well, if I'm ever busted in the States, I hope you're on the jury.
Well, I don't know if I can be fair and partial and impartial if it's you, because I'll probably lean towards you. I'll have to recuse myself.
No, I'd be sitting in the dock there, and I'll be wearing my Thundercat shirt, and I'll look across to you in the jury box, and you'll be wearing your Thundercat shirt as well, and everyone will be looking at each other going,
oh, snap.
I'll be passing you show notes for Saturday. Dude, what are we going to talk about? Dude, you might be in the chair by then.
He can't be on the jury. These guys are hobros.
This whole place is out of order.
No, man. I encourage everybody who gets a summons to do jury duty to do it if you can. And if you have an excuse, the kind of excuse where you feel pretty good about using it, then of course do that. But if you don't, then just do it. It's going to change the way you look at things, I believe.
You think about all the benefits and freedoms and rights and privileges you're afforded yourself by living in a democracy, and this is a very, very small part of existing in that democracy.
Yep. It's one of the prices we pay. It's one of the burdens we have. And so anyway, enough about that. That was,
Josh Haley rules.
If you have any questions for me, you can just send me a message and I'll be happy to share with you what happened and all that if you don't know what's going on. But as far as right now, on the Friday night, I've spent a little bit of this earlier evening checking out GnomeDex live online. Since we couldn't go, we can check it out, over the streaming deal, the video stream. And
obviously, Chris didn't want to shave my beard off while I wore a little milkmaid outfit, but that's fine.
Yeah, the offer was on the table, and he just did not obtain, did not partake.
Next year.
Yeah, hopefully next year. But the talks that I was able to catch on the live stream were pretty cool. And they had Drew Olenoff on there talking about the Blame Drew's Cancer campaign that he started. He told his story, and he was he kept it real. I don't know how else to say it. He's both hilarious as well as, dead serious. It's one of those roller coaster rides. His talk was amazing. He asked in the crowd if there were people that were diagnosed with cancer, and a couple of people raised their hands, and he asked them to come up, and he just gave them a big group hug right in front of everybody, and that was just huge. I don't know why that was so huge, but it was just huge.
I don't mind admitting I had tears in my eyes when he did that.
Seriously, I was a little choked up. That's, there's so many things that are said during that time that you can't put on paper. You can't actually say in words. It's just really amazing that he did that. I'm glad that he was given that opportunity by Chris Borrello to kind of hit the home run for that day's worth of talks.
Well, what was essentially a sad story. The way he told it, I want to kick Drew's cancer's ass. I want to go out and destroy it.
Exactly.
He just took the situation and just spun it so beautifully that it's just like watch out, Drew's cancer.
So that's kind of one thing that's been going on. It's kind of happening right now. I mean, they're adjourned, so to speak, but I'm sure people are hanging out and getting ready to go to parties or whatever.
I believe there's even a friend feed meetup happening quite shortly, actually.
Or presently or something, yeah. In 15 minutes or so. Yeah. According to Lindsay Donaghy, she and her husband Tad are attending the Gnome Dex. Akiva and Rochelle are at Gnome Dex. Of course, they live there, so it's a little easier than most to attend.
I actually don't think Akiva's there. And I say this for two reasons. There's obviously two things that are happening. Either Akiva has been a beautifully crafted hoax by Rochelle, who has the great ability to put on a male voice and somehow reproduce without the... like. Okay, stop right there. Next subject. Or Akiva has gone around to everyone and slipped them $20 and said, look, you take a photo of me, I rip your nuts off. Because I watched the stream for like 2 hours and they basically scanned the entire crowd. He yep. was not there.
I could not make him out in any of the streams. Now, I don't know if they're in the main room or the extra side room or whatever, but I did see a couple pictures posted tonight. One was of him and Rochelle from the neck down. Did you see that one?
Yes.
They're both
wearing friend features.
Yeah, that's so awesome. Represent. Ooh, ooh,
and, ooh. And Rochelle's got a nice pink laptop, so I'm sort of scanning there going, okay, so looking for friend feed shirts and pink laptops.
And Babby.
Nothing.
You know, Audrey should have been a dead giveaway, you know? I mean, should have been able to spot Audrey across the room wherever. So who knows? Maybe
it could, maybe it could actually
the,
be.
They might have been in the other room where they were piping the feed, you know? There's like a spillover room.
With a video. Could he be Wonder Woman and be invisible?
Hmm.
Akiva, Wonder Woman!
We'll have to find out. Supposedly they're on their way home, and if I know them, they're probably chit-chatting with people still at the conference and all that, and then gonna go home. But I wouldn't blame them at all. But there was another picture of Akiva and Rochelle, but you could see Rochelle's face, but Akiva's face was pretty much how you see him on his avatar. It was just a... Is it a sheep or a goat? I mean, either way it works, I guess.
It's a sheep.
It's a sheep. But yeah, they had the sheep face picture.
And I got all excited because I forget who posted. I think it was Glenn posted one, and it was the four of them, and it had Akiva in the middle. And I've looked, and Akiva's not sitting there. So,
that was Laura's post. There you go.
Yes. While I may not be as accurate as wanted. That Wonder Woman's plane was actually invisible, not her. the joke still worked that he could be invisible like the Invisible Man. So he could be Steve Martin.
I'm so sorry. Why is it so funny when people are making fun of your accent, Johnny? You must get sick of that. I'm so sorry. I apologize.
It's Akiva.
I think it was a few weeks ago when you said Mona. People were saying Moner. Like spelling it out like Moner. Because it's not your fault, dude. I mean,
it's just I have an R inflection on A's.
Yeah, that's how it is down under. What are you going to do, right?
At least I'm friggin' pronouncing the letter.
Yeah, Moner and Akiva.
Mona, I hardly knew her.
Mona, exactly. Oh, see, that's just the magic, I think, that is added to this entire concept of Thundercats, is that, you know, to you, I probably have some sort of stupid Yankee accent, or, you know, American accent, whatever that's called. And then, to me, you sound different from what I'm used to hearing. You know, but it's cool.
You want to know something interesting about the whole accent type of thing? In Australia, we have a rule. I think either 40 or 60% of all the content that goes on TV, radio, that type of thing, has to be Australian, right?
Right.
And the rest can be American, so like US shows like Friends, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is the shows that are produced in Australia are shit. So no one watches them. So even though 40 or 60% of the content is actually Australian, it's all local stuff that's stuck on community channels, and no one ever watches it. So I've grown up for the past 30 years. I'm turning 30 in January, so yeah, 30 years with Sesame Street, all the American shows. So when you talk, I don't hear the accent because it's not something I listen for, because I listen to the BBC World Service, which has everything from Middle Eastern to African, South American, all that type of thing. So for me, it's not so much the accent that I pick up. So I don't really pick up the small things like I'm drawing my A's out for R's. But stuff like Mark Wilson and a boot.
A boat.
You just can't miss that. A boat.
A boat.
I'm on a boat.
I'm on a boat, MFR.
Yes. So, Akiva. See, that hurts my mouth.
Really?
Yes, pronouncing, putting the A in Akiva hurts my mouth.
Wow.
Mm. It must be genetic. Genetically, Akiva doesn't fit in my mouth.
We need to write this down. Putting the A in Akiva hurts my mouth. I just wanted to document that. Thanks. Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway.
Put that in there.
Yeah.
So, yes. And I want to go do Nomdex. I do. Next year.
Nomdex, 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 Nomdex. Nomdex. Do they have a theme song?
We could write one. We could write the theme soon. Sing the theme tune.
Do, 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 do.
Nomdex! No, we had enough fun with that last week.
Nomdex, 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 Nomdex.
Speaking of all things Seychelles and everything like that.
Yes.
I'll post a quick link. Last week while the show was going on, there was another Akiva and Rochelle meetup, involved in a meetup. It was with, I've lost the names. Where are they? Oh, why can I not do this? With Eric and Ben.
Mm-hmm.
And I've posted the photo there. And Joey.
Yes.
And Audrey. So, yes, sorry, hosting fail there for a second. But, yes, they had a meetup last Friday night, your time. And looks like they had a good time. I've still yet to go to a meetup with other friend feeders, so I'm having my own conference, Beard Dex.
Beard Dex.
Yeah.
Saw that. I saw that post. You might need an extra D in there. Someone thought it was Bear Dex.
I don't have the Microsoft Surface. I'm just writing out notes like, hey, John, your beard's really cool, and like moving around on the breakfast table going, ooh.
That was funny.
Yeah, now that I see it, it probably didn't come off as Bear Dex.
Bear Dex. Hey, man, where do you find the best honey?
Our next speaker, Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, gosh.
Hey, boo.
Gosh, it's really great to be here.
And up next, a diatribe on the contents of picnic baskets.
Paddington Bear. And then the Care Bears. Oh, no, not the Care Bears theme.
No. Gummy bears.
Gummy bears, yep.
But like I was saying, no koalas, because koala isn't a bear. A koala is a marsupial.
Which means they have their own pouch sewn in.
Yeah, and the thing lives inside the pouch. So, like, kangaroos and koalas have pouches which their babies hang out in for a bit, yeah.
Awesome. What else has been going on in the news on Friend Feed this past week?
I really hope I'm not butchering her name, but just a little bit of social thing to break it up, is that Camilla Gill and Harold got engaged.
Yay!
Oh.
Congratulations. So,
and that sort of sparked some other people to post photos of when they got engaged, which was good.
Yeah, a little meme broke out while I was in jury duty. I couldn't participate, darn it.
So I was actually going to ask you, how did you propose to Trish?
It's actually a pretty cool story.
And that's why I asked.
Are you ready?
I'm sitting comfortably.
Let's see. We've been going out for a little while, and my folks really liked her, and we kind of had already talked about marriage a little bit. It was kind of like an unsaid thing, which is dangerous, by the way, an unsaid thing that we kind of knew that we were probably going to get married. Then it just so happened that my brother and my oldest brother, not Morgan, but Sean, and his wife were in town. This is back in Hawaii on Oahu. And they came to visit us. And while they were there, they wanted to go to Maui for a little while. So we said, yeah, let's go with you. And so it was like them, my folks, and me, and I invited Trish at the time. And thought it would be really cool, you know, trip. And so we all, you know, went, and we had all separate rooms and everything, and it was all fun. And one afternoon, we drove up Mount Haleakala, which is, you know, the big dormant volcano that just looks like when you look down into the crater, it's amazing. I've actually hiked through there a couple of times. It's brutal to hike, but it's beautiful to just look at. You have to look it up. It looks like you're on the surface of the moon or something, but colorful instead of just gray-ish. It's just amazing. So anyway, we got up there, we parked, and I had actually been planning to propose up on top of Mount Haleakala this whole time, but she didn't know. Everyone else knew, but Trish didn't. And so I was just trying to be all nonchalant. I wasn't like all dressed up and everything. I was basically wearing sweats and a t-shirt and a sweater, you know. But I had this diamond ring in my pocket, in my sweats, and it was just kind of like, I was just nervous as hell. I think I drank like this big 64-ounce Diet Coke on the way up, and I was already like, you know, shaking, and so that didn't help. So I was shaking even more. But I was just trying to be all cool, and I was like, so hey, let's go hike up that little hill there with the rocks, and it's like a lookout, you know? There's a parking lot down here. I know you can't see me, but I'm waving my hand down here. And then up there was like a little maybe 3-minute hike to up on these higher rocks for the lookout. And so we went up there, and it just so happened that it was around the time of the sunset. And I don't know if you know anything about Mount Haleakala, but when you're at the summit, you are way above the clouds. It's way up there. It takes a long time to get up there. I don't know the actual altitude at the top of my head, but you're
really, really high.
Really high. You're way up there. And so the sunset was happening beneath the clouds, which we were way above. It was surreal. Okay. So that was the setting. You got that going behind us, and we're just standing there looking into the crater, which is being, you know, with this orange light shining across this awesome, just desolation yet beautiful landscape. And I just kind of like, you know, we're just kind of standing there and just taking it in. And I got in front of her, got down on one knee, and I looked up and I said, and I opened up the little thing with the ring, just like you see in the movies. And I said, Trish, will you marry me? And you know what she said?
What?
Are you serious? They're like, are you kidding? and I wasn't sure what to do at that point, but then she quickly, you know, recanted, and she said yes, yes, and she was crying, you know, oh, we're crying. And I stood up, and oh, okay, so she corrected me. She said, are you joking? And then then you know, I kissed her, and that was that. We were engaged. It was just like that.
Hooray!
We took some pictures and all that of the setting, and we have that to look back on, and we tell the story to our kids and their grandkids and to, you know, people on Friend Feed on a podcast.
That is awesome.
So I actually wanted to get into that on the meme thing, but I missed out. So this will be my contribution to the meme. We're engaged, and Trish and I have been together ever since. December will be our 15th anniversary.
Wow.
Being married.
Being married? Dude, yep. Congratulations.
Yep.
That's awesome.
So how about you and Rachel?
Mine is very typical me, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I need to give some background for context. So I left high school in 96, graduated in 96, a fresh-faced 16-year-old. Really didn't have many girlfriends, that type of thing. So I said, I'm going to go traveling and I'm going to go and do all this, yada, yada, yada. And then I was currently doing 10-pin bowling at this stage. I was bowling in Queensland State League, that type of thing. And one of the girls I was bowling with was a friend of mine. I rang her up and we were talking. And there was this girl in the background, and she was throwing a volleyball at this girl's head. And I said, "Who's that?" And she said, "Oh, it's my friend Rachel." And I said, "We'll put her on. I just wanted to speak to her and put her on." And then we were chatting away, and everything's nice. And I said, "Look," just complete ballsy move. I said, "Look, I've got some tickets to a movie tomorrow, which happened to be Bulletproof.
Okay.
Do you want to go into the city with me and see it?" And she goes, "Oh, yeah, I suppose." I said, "Okay, cool. I'll meet you tomorrow," because I had bowling on Saturdays. "I'll meet you at bowling, and then we'll go in the afternoon." So that's fine. Went, did bowling, turned up at bowling, and my friend Vanessa turned up, and then this girl turned up, dressed all in black with black hair and goth makeup on. And that was Rachel. Rachel was going through a gothy stage. And I saw straight through it and just like, she's a beautiful girl. So we were chatting away and I said, "Look, I'll pick you up. We'll go into the, go in the city." So basically organized, we met in the city and we went and saw this movie. And then after the movie, we went and had a picnic lunch of KFC in the botanical gardens in Brisbane, under this one tree, big tree, big branches, really thing. It's this one tree in the middle of this big field, and had a lovely KFC romantic first dinner thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fine. And then we started going out, and then I think it was 2003 or 2004. Can't remember correctly. I'm going to get my ass kicked for that when she listens to this, but we'd been talking about getting married for a while, or she'd basically been talking at me to get married for a while. So we'd been together for a while. So I bought the ring and I gave it to my mum because I was still living with my mum at this stage.
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Mum, can you hide this in the cupboard? Because I don't want Rachel to find it," because Rachel used to stay over our place because we had a pretty big house. And so it was her birthday, the 2nd of November, and I said to Mum, "Oh, have you got the ring?" And she goes, "Yeah, it's in my cupboard." And Rachel walked around the corner and I've gone, "Oh, crap, she's heard it." She's gone, "What's in the cupboard?" I said, "Oh, it's just a security system. The battery's flat and I've just got to get the screwdriver to fix it." She's like, "Okay, that's unusual." I said, "Yeah, that's all right. I'll just fix this and we'll go in the city. We'll have something to eat."
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. I took her into the city. We did some shopping. And I said, "Hey, do you want to go and have like lunch in the park? Let's just go have lunch. We'll go home because we're going out for dinner that night with her folks and my folks." "Yeah, that's fine." So we got KFC again. We were walking to the walking into the botanical gardens. I said, "Oh, what about we find that old tree that we had our first date underneath?" And she's like, "Okay, you can't put anything past Rachel." So we found the tree and we had lunch, and then we packed up, put everything in the bin, and I came back. And I started to go down onto my knee because I was going to ask her to marry me. And this was at the time of the Rugby Union World Cup.
Oh.
Right? And at the exact moment I started to go down on my knee, a large, like talking 50 or 60 strong group of British rugby supporters happened to be walking through the park, probably about 15 metres away from this tree, where I was down on my knee proposing to Rachel. Now, I haven't seen this. So I've gone down onto the knee and I've asked Rachel and she's gone, "Oh my God, yes!" Stood up, hugged her, and then we just hear this, this huge crowd just went, Rachel and I have both gone red. They're like, they're walking past going, "Yeah, good on you!" So I had a crowd for it.
Nice.
And then And then typical Rachel and I, she was all excited, and then she goes, oh, I've got to call everyone. And she went to call her mum and said, oh, no, we'll tell them at dinner tonight. So we went to the pinball arcade. We played some air hockey because we're very competitive at air hockey. Played some Daytona. I think we went and did some shopping for some stuff for a kitchen. I don't know why. I think I wanted to buy a muffin tin. We bought a muffin tin, and then we went home and told all our family. It was like, rah, rah. So, yeah, I proposed in front of a crowd.
Dude,
so, typical fail.
A rugby team.
Yes.
That's so cool, dude. They just happened to be there to watch the whole thing happen. Like, yay!
Because the tree's so huge, we were only standing on the one side, and they were all walking from the walking down the path from the other side. And I heard some people, but not enough. And just when I went down, they've like 60 of them have just come past the tree, and it's like, run! And they've walked past and basically seen me down on the knee asking Rachel to marry me. And it's like, run!
That's wicked cool, dude.
Yeah, I asked her to marry me under the tree we had our first date on. I'm not as super as romantic as hiking up a mountain with sunsets under clouds and stuff. But
yeah, we hiked, right?
I had a rugby team.
Dude, no, man. I mean, some things just fall into place, you know, and it's different for everybody. But I think we both have really good stories to tell.
You've got to. It's all about the moment. It is. It's all about. It doesn't matter how it happened. She said yes. So, actually, no. Oh my God! Now that I remember, she said, and I tell no lie. You're joking. because we talked about moving in together and everything like that. And I remember we had a fight in a car park outside the shops. Because she wanted to move into a place, and I said, I couldn't afford it yet, yada, yada, yada. And that was a year before this. And then I've gotten down and asked her, and she's gone, oh, you're joking? Because I think it came, even though she knew something was up, she didn't know it was like asking her to marry me, because she was imagining it was 2 or 3 years down the track. But no, just I'll check with her next time she comes past, but I'm sure she said, you're joking?
Dude, that's just weird.
Which says two things. Either they were taken up by the surprise, or we're really good at having surprises, or our wives think marrying us is a joke.
Well, there may be some truth in all of that. That's for sure. I guess I could go on, but I don't think I should.
Jim's saying in the chat room. My wife didn't say, are you joking? She said, are you effing kidding me?
that's one way to do it.
So, awesomenessness.
Yep, people getting engaged. Good times, man. Love is in the air. Dun, 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 dun.
Do you know who wrote that song?
What?
Love is in the air?
Who? What? Who?
I think it was John Paul Young, who's an Australian.
Well, slap my boots.
Have you heard that? Where'd you hear that song?
I don't know. It just popped in my head.
Was it a dancing movie?
I don't know, dude. It popped in my head.
That's Strictly Ballroom. Have you ever seen that movie?
Heard of it, but no.
Yeah. In Australia, we call it Restricted Ballroom.
Restricted?
Restricted Ballroom, because the pants they wear in that, whoo. Tell you what, the boys are snug.
Okay. Like Angels Flights with the package enhancing crutch.
It's like the box. You either pack to the left or the right.
Angels Flights.
Go into the chapel and we're gonna get married. Go into the chapel and we're gonna get married.
Well, shall we post another thing?
Shall we post another thing? Because that is what we do on the Thundercats. We post things.
That is how we roll in junk.
Yes.
So I haven't read too much in this, but apparently there is now a friend feed SMS service.
Yes.
Or have I posted the wrong thing? I've posted the wrong thing, I think.
Yeah, don't post the wrong thing now.
No, no. I posted the right thing, clicked on the wrong thing.
Oh, okay.
See, complete hosting fail today. SMS archivar. I don't think I can read it, but essentially what I gather is that you can now send SMSs to a service that will post on FriendFeed for you.
Putting the A in FFSMS breaks my mouth.
Well, it's better than putting... Well, see, it's not really the A in the Akiva that breaks my mouth. It's the end of the A on the end that breaks my mouth.
I was going to ask you which one.
Yeah, because it's not Arkivar, because then he'd be a pirate. Arkivar.
Arkivar. Blimey.
Gee me, cabin boy, get me that sheep. Capture the Akivar.
Arr. Yar. It's almost time for Talk Like a Pirate Day again, isn't it?
Isn't it coming up?
Next month? I think.
I'll just get the... I think...
Yeah, we'll figure it out. We will keep you posted.
I always forget that. I think it was the 16th. It's on September 19th. That's right.
It's in September. Okay, yeah.
So, yeah.
We've got to get ready.
It's a Saturday. So it's a Saturday and Sunday for me. So I get to enjoy the whole weekend.
Talking like,
because we established this in the great Friend Feed conference last year that when things happened, it counts for the whole 48 hours. So it starts from the international dateline. So New Zealand and Australia get it first, but I can keep talking like a pirate until Hawaii clocks off.
Oh, that's day and a half almost, or yeah.
Well, it's almost 48 hours, isn't it? I know, but probably about 36 hours? 30 something. But a lot.
You're doing the F sound and you say 36. That's funny.
36. 36.
It's like awesome.
Like Thundercats. We know someone famous awesome. who drawed out the F on Thundercats this week, so yes.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Thundercats.
So I can't really understand what this post is about, but I think it means that in certain situations you can send an SMS to something and it will post it on FriendFeed. I saw something that was only available in Turkey, possibly.
I didn't actually check out the site, but I guess the idea behind it would be to maximize the usage of SMS. I know in different countries, SMS is like the way people use their phones. They don't even use it to call. To talk. It's all texting.
In Africa, it's very, very much SMS-driven.
Yeah. And so if you got that, then and it's already going, then maybe if you could tie in FriendFeed to it somehow, again, I don't know how it works yet, but then that way they could have their FriendFeed anywhere they go, because maybe they can't use FF to go like we do. And maybe they don't have a data network and it's only SMS type, you know.
SMS works on 2 and 2.5G networks. And that's what a lot of them have. And, like, it's funny how people go on about, with protests and stuff, how Twitter is revolutionizing the organization of protests. It's got nothing on SMS. SMS, like, I think there was protests in Nepal, I think, a couple of months ago, and it was organized completely by SMS. No Twittering, no nothing. So... Can you actually send SMS to... I'll speak English. Can you actually send SMS to Twitter in America?
Yes.
For us in Australia, we have to pay long-distance SMS to either England or America.
Really?
We don't have a number here in Australia.
Wow. That kind of sucks.
Yeah. So the whole phenomenon of SMS Twittering just hasn't taken here because it's cost too much.
I guess you'll have to deal with the likes of TweetDeck or other built-in apps.
A lot of the phones now that you buy in Australia come with Twitter and Facebook plans. So because we have particularly in our database, or not database, sorry, in our ISP system, metered. So how much you download and upload gets taken off a tally. If you go over there, you get slowed or you get charged. With the phones, they're actually counting the traffic from Twitter or Facebook as unmetered, so you can use as much as you like.
Very cool.
Mm. Which is interesting because you're walking around going, people come up to me now, sorry, people come up and say, oh, so what about Twitter? I say, yeah, so what about Twitter? Oh, do you think it's good? Nah. What do you want to do with it? Oh, I want to keep in touch with my friends. I say, okay, send them an SMS. Oh, but can't I do that on Twitter? I said, yeah, but you're not sending them an SMS, you're sending everyone an SMS. Oh, ooh, okay.
Yeah, everyone.
Because I was speaking to someone on Friday about Twitter and everything like that, and for them, they have a very close circle of friends, and they're very private people. So for them, the idea of Twitter is completely foreign. They use Facebook very differently than I do. Their Facebook is locked down tighter than a bug's asshole. There is a lot of people in an outer circle, which this person just wants to keep a constant, not a constant, but sort of like an occasional eye on. But for her group of friends, it's very much pick up the phone, send them SMS. She has a core group of about 10 or 15 people, and they don't need to do social media because they don't want to know what's happening in their lives every second of the day because they've got other shit to do, whereas I don't.
Of course.
So, yeah, that was my little mini rant. I'll take the renter apron off.
Are there any other news before we go into our picks?
Akiva just arrived. Hello, Akiva.
Greetings.
Hello, Arkivar. You will have to listen to the earlier part of the episode to understand why I'm saying Akivar. And I was wondering if someone in the chat room could post our current moment of win candidate.
I wrote it way up there. That's it. Tim wrote it.
So a lot of Akiva, for you, a lot of people were commenting on the fact that when I say your name, I draw an R on the end of your the letter A at the end of your name. So I pronounce it Akiva. R. See? Now you guys have made me bloody self-conscious of it. I'm always going to be either saying Akiva or Akivar.
That's why we're here.
It's never
man.
Just going to be Akivar. Key Largo. R.
And, okay. And Rochelle R. No?
Rochelle?
Rochelle R.
Rochelle R.
So they match. So they match. Ardry.
All right. Well,
now we're going to get in trouble.
Just a last little quick thing before we get into our picks of the week. Just wanted to post that. Can you tell us about this, sir? I believe you posted it. Thanks, everyone, for helping this make this podcast reach even more people.
That's the FF2Go post, isn't it?
Indeed.
I can't click on it. Right
no, I'm not sure. No, this is the podcasting.
Oh, Podomatic, right. Yeah. Our podcasting service, the host, whatever you want to call it, that many of our listeners have actually donated to help support it being a pro account so that we can have more than 10 gigs of bandwidth per month, which we need. They keep track of, you know, who are the movers and shakers and the best whatever podcasts, I guess, in, you know, for that day or that week or whatever. And then when I log in, I see these little badges come up and say, hey, this episode did really well. This episode did really well. And so I thought I'd share that with everybody. And that's all that is. You know, tooting own horn kind of thing. Woohoo! Toot, toot. Check it out, yo.
Toot, toot.
And also a chance for us to say, you know, thank you to everybody for helping make the show what it is. Because it's not just about us anymore, you know. It used to be. No, not really.
Kind of.
It's always been for friend feeders, right?
Yes. And it's also been by friend feeders.
Yeah, that's right. So there you go. Always has. Always will. There you go. And I think I also posted a FF2Go thing where we had taken the top spot on FF2Go, not FF2Go, FFholic, for the, I guess the chat rooms with all the comments make it look like we're the most active group on FriendFeed. But I just got a message before the show that Chinese group took over number one spot. So we're working on it tonight by adding every comment that you make in this chat room, you know, is basically helping us go back to number one status on FFolic, which is really our main goal. This is why we started the whole podcast. I mean, really, so that we could take over FFolic.
We're taking it back.
No, nothing against any of the other groups, but it just I happened to notice that one day and posted it and thought it was pretty cool. So I'm going to post my pick of the week.
Mm-hmm. Please
do. But be careful, it's the iPhone link. I'm doing it from my iPhone because I'm kind of, you know, cool like that. That is, that should be a link to an interview on CNN.com over Skype that Tad and Lindsay Donaghy and Duncan Riley were able to do from Nomdex. And I believe you saw it.
John? I haven't seen the interview, but I did see that post.
Yes. So apparently, I've never heard of this show that they do, I guess, on CNN.com. But anyway, they Chris Perillo, you know, founder of Nomdex, is on CNN TV, you know, every now and then. I don't know if it's every day or whatever, but he's one of those guys that comes on. I mean, he's the tech guy or something. And so he has a thing. I'm sure he helped set all this up. Or had something to do with it. And our illustrious Ted and Lindsay got to be on the show and talk about Twitter and Facebook. And what was cool is that Lindsay got to say FriendFeed. She actually mentioned FriendFeed, even though, of course, Facebook bought them and so forth. But the words FriendFeed came out of her mouth, as well as MeatSpace. And we gotta give it up to her when she actually said the word MeatSpace. And so that was huge. And
awesome.
And it's my pick of the week because it's just too awesome. I mean, how cool is that, right? And you can go watch their interview with the link. It's like a 10-minute thing, and immortalized on CNN's archives. So now, if you thought they were famous before, then now you better watch out. They're CNN famous.
Wow.
Yeah.
I want to be CNN famous.
Woohoo. So congrats to them for that.
Excellent. I suppose I'll move on to my pick.
Yes.
Mine's a very quick, short one.
That's what she said. Dude, that was perfect. I mean, oh my gosh.
So it's very quick and it's very short. That's what... it's a post by Mike Nyer back on Tuesday, and he posts, "I can't leave my house because my garage door is broken. I'm trapped. Help." To which I replied, "The front door."
And then what?
That was it. It's like he's just posted, "I'm trapped in my house because my garage door won't open." So. Can't you walk out? Do you only have one door in your house?
Well, there is a way to lock the door that leads into the house from the garage, you know. And if that's locked and you're in the garage, the only way out would be to disable the gear. If it's an automatic garage door, disable the gear, which every garage door opener should have.
He's trapped in his house because his garage door is broken.
Oh, he said he was in the house?
Well, yeah, I can't leave my house.
Maybe he
because
meant,
my garage was broken.
Oh, maybe he's talking about driving away.
Well, then he should have said that, because by the sounds of his post, it was like, dude, he's like, Mike Nyer has turned into a mime. I'm freaking stuck in this house. I can't get through the door. Do you have other exits?
That's like he locked his keys in his car, and you can't figure out how to get in, but the windows are rolled down.
Exactly.
Or something. That's just, oops. No.
You know what it is? He's locked his keys in the car.
Oh, but he's in the car.
He's in the car. Or even better still, he's locked his keys in the car, but only the driver's side door is locked. Every other door is unlocked. He just can't get his keys through the driver's side door.
I've found Mike Nyer's latest posts, which are kind of like tweets, but he does send them directly into FriendFeed. They're short and completely incoherent. And I think, and I'm starting to worry about him a little bit. Just a little bit. But
should we be caring about Mike Nyack because Mike Nyack cares.
Well, I mean, he had his own tech podcast going, right, for a while.
Mm.
And tell me he doesn't know about Gnomedex, right? Of course he does. And then he says today, what the hell is Gnomedex and why is it raping my eyes?
Maybe his dumpster only gets dial-up.
What the hell is that? I think he's losing his mind. What little he had. I really do.
We love you, Mike Nyack.
Yeah, by the way.
But the concept of the door is well established over many centuries. Yeah, use another one. Although, two questions come to mind. How does a dumpster have a garage? Or maybe he's actually living in a garage. He just calls it a house.
He probably has a dumpster in his garage. And it couldn't fit through the door, and that's why he couldn't get out.
So he travels.
Done.
His dumpster is on wheels. So it'd be some hilarious goodies thing where it's like, goodies, goody, goody, gum, gum. And it's just Mike Nye rolling down the street. He's in his dumpster going, meep, meep. He's got a little horn, little driving cap, little driving gloves, goggles. Meep, meep. No?
No, maybe.
In my head, that was friggin' hilarious. Maybe, screw you all.
Maybe his old college buddies penny jammed his garage door. That actually would make a little more sense. Sorry.
So mine wasn't funny. It was just in the mindset I was in on that day, and I just saw that post, and he's just gone, I'm trapped in my house. I'm like, go through another door.
Trapped in the garage. Can't get out.
I'm trapped in the closet.
Exactly.
So he pulls out his gun. Oh, sorry.
Because I'm blessed. We got to do an episode dedicated to that epic piece of work.
Oh, trapped in the closet. I tell you what, I've put my nuts out there on the line before and said, it is an epic piece. An epic piece of cultural history. If you listen to that thing, there is so many twists and turns. I'm going to give it away, but the chick is pregnant to a midget stripper. You can't write this shit. This thing comes directly from the genius mind of Mr. R. I Want to Pee on You, Kelly. I swear to God, I had only seen like two of the many episodes of that just played. And then Rachel and I were sitting on the couch one night and they played episode 1 to 24. And Rachel and I sat there riveted.
Yes.
Riveted.
It's one of those things where you light the incense, you light the candles, you dim the lights, and you just listen to the whole thing.
But we were actually going to go and we were actually out and do something. It just so happens that I was sitting on the couch just as it came on. I said, Rachel, let's just watch. I want to watch this. We sat there for the 2 hours it takes to play, and it finished. And Rachel and I were looking at each other in dead silence. And we're sitting on the couch, and I turned to her and I go, my God, this is the fucking most awesome thing I've ever seen. If there was ever a point where I lost my shit, that was it. It is. That thing should be in the bloody Smithsonian. It is a piece of cultural history.
It really makes you wonder what he was going for when he came up with that, you know? Like, oh, wow, this is a great idea. And then, oh, my gosh, where the hell did it go? And then, you know what? You know what? It's still a great idea because of for a different reason now.
But the whole thing is, to be that complex, either he's a frigging genius or he must have used a flowchart of some sort. So that says to me, I Want to Pee on You, Kelly, is either a genius or a nerd. Can we get R. Kelly on Friend Feed? Can he be trapped in the Friend Feed closet?
That would be something. That would be something. And this is not in any way related, but I neglected to bring up another piece
please,
of news.
No, please drop a segue. I want to see how you go for this.
This has nothing to do with it, but I believe it was in the middle of the week. Something pretty cool was released to the public. I think they played it at Comic-Con, but now it's like available on YouTube. It is, I don't know if you're a fan of The Guild, but
yes.
Felicia Day and The Guild, they came out with a music video to help promote their third season, which is coming out pretty soon. And the music video kicks ass. It's called Do You Want to Date My Avatar? you know? My daughter's like constantly singing it already, you know? And I mean, it's like a catchy, you know, dance tune. And the video is just awesome. It's really, really well done.
Exactly. It's not the world's greatest song, but God damn it, it's catchy.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's catchy. And I think it was written by the same person or people that did Dr. Horrible music. That's the rumor. I have no way of confirming that right now. But
and I believe Josh Wheaton or someone, his brother, directed the video clip.
Maybe that's it, yeah. Joss Whedon's brother, Jed, or whatever.
He's probably got that on a business card. Here, it just says Josh Whedon's
brother. Oh, my gosh.
Down the bottom.
It is Jed. I was totally kidding.
Seriously, picking a name out of your ass fire.
I must have heard it before. Because, wow, yeah, that was amazing. So anyway, yeah, very cool video. If you haven't seen it, check it out. If you're not a fan of the Guild and you haven't seen it, it's actually a 2 seasons worth of very, very short mini episodes. But it's so funny and so well produced that you just... your mind will be blown. It's available online for free. You can go and check it out. As far as like, I know if you have Boxy installed, it's actually an application. It's one of those applications you can just download it and stream it. All the episodes and the music videos on there too. That's how I saw them all and everything.
I'll just warn everyone. Whingy Australian rant approaching. Hold on to your butts. I can actually download that on the Xbox Live.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Excuse my French, it's the only fucking thing I can download on my Xbox Live in Australia, but I can download it.
Well, you got to have something.
In the video section, it has The Guild, and then it has CES 2008 videos.
Really?
And the Bourne Identity trailer for the video game. That's all I got.
Ooh, you might want to write to your Xbox congressman.
I've called them. They said, yes, due to licensing, we can only release that under certain things. So in other words, suck my balls, Xbox. Suck them deep.
My baru. Did you see that Japanese translation thing that I posted? Yes. Well, I took your quote, plugged it in, and it went back and forth between English-Japanese.
What? Ha, 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 suck my balls, love Facebook.
Right. And then it said something about, my baru suck. My baru suck. Ha ha.
That was the thing that we learned in Japanese, that basketball was basketboru.
Yeah, boru.
So we always used to go in Japanese class, suck my boru.
Suck my baru. And it's an R, but it's got like a D sound, a very light D sound. Saku my baru. Where are we going now? I don't know where we're going now. I think we're done and we're having...
We're going to Disneyland.
Yeah!
Actually, one thing I did... That did pop up my screen that I didn't see... No. Is that there's been a few interviews with Paul from Friend Feet. And... we don't want to get into it too much. Short version is that at this stage, it's still staying around for a long time. They just can't tell us when. So there you go.
Okay.
That was going to be my other pick, but I wanted to keep it light and Nairish.
Nairish. Okay.
Seriously, the word Moorish, just on a little rat hole here, the word Moorish should not be an English word. It should not be. You either want the, that's yummy, delicious. That shouldn't be, it's Moorish. If you want more, say, I'd like some more. Don't combine two sentences into one because you're just lazy. Moorish should not be a word. Okay, thanks.
So you mean a little more, or not quite more, but just Moorish?
But when my wife eats something, she goes, that's Moorish, which means that's so delicious, I'd like some more of that.
Wow.
But the word Moorish just pisses me off.
I've never heard that, and thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, so if you eat a delicious piece of fish, you go, it's Moorish, which means I want more. well, say you want more and I'll get you more. Don't make up frigging words. But, and she said to me, it is a word. I said, it's not a word. We looked it up in the dictionary. They put it in the frigging dictionary. Screw you, Webster's.
Because I thought Moorish meant someone who was a Moor, you know, from back in history. You ever watch Robin Hood?
You've just completely blown my mind out of my ear.
You know, the Moors.
My earplugs have just gone bing. Headphones, right?
And then you got the Coors, which are an Irish singing group, female.
You know why they're called the Coors?
No.
Because you can't look at any of the girls without going Coor.
Actually, I know it's their last name, but yeah, you're absolutely right. They're not ugly.
No.
Extremely not. How do you say that?
Yes. And they're identically unugly.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's good times. And their songs are actually really good, too, if you ever check it out.
You actually listen to the music? Okay.
Oh, yeah, dude. While you're staring you got to do something while you're staring at the album cover.
Nice.
No, just kidding.
Man, this is some crazy shit. Why won't you both just come out the closet? And they said,
we're not coming out the closet, so you can just go away.
But everyone wants you out the closet.
That doesn't matter, because we're going to stay.
Now I'm starting to get angry, so I pull out my gun. I'm going to give you count to three to open this closet door. One, I'm going to shoot you both. Two, I'm going to cap some bitch free.
Now I'm in the closet. Now I'm in the closet too.
So now it's time for the moment of win, you know, the part of the podcast where we have a moment, and that moment is full of win. And you are invited to participate in said moment. And if you should decide to participate, then it would be something like what we're about to do. Any questions? Good. Putting the A in Akiva hurts my mouth. That is what she said. that's what came up earlier, and I feel pretty good about it. How about you?
I'm rocking that.
Do you think we should mix in a little Gnome Dex to kind of throw a little tribute? You know, hey, it's Gnome Dex. Throw the Gnome Dex hashtag in there.
I don't know. I'll leave that call to you, sir.
Individual choice.
Yes.
Fair enough. All right. So, everyone prepare. En garde.
I just found my photo.
Yes, there's a Gnome Dex hashtag. And guess what it's called? That's right. Like Dora the Explorer. Do you know why my father left me? Right. Well,
don't get me started on that, because why would you let a 10-year-old girl out wandering the things with a talking monkey wear shoes?
Exactly. It is pound symbol.
Oh, do you know what the worst thing about Dora is? Just as a little side note.
Here we go.
I got Georgia for Christmas last year a Dora the Explorer dance mat, and it comes with this DVD, and the DVD is. You basically, Georgia can stand on the mat, watch the show, and it gives them action. So it's got like five numbers on it. She has to jump. There's different sections. It's like the map, right? What it is they've taken three episodes of Dora and all spliced them in and put the worst frigging dubbing over the top I've ever seen. Now, this wouldn't be a problem except for the fact I've watched those three episodes so many goddamn times that I know them like the back of my hand. So when this show comes on, I know what parts they're cutting. I know the things they're fobbing. I know that's not what they said. And it shits me to tears. It really does, because it's just a cheap recutting and a rehashing. It's like, oh, for no reason, here's Benny in a balloon bringing us tuxedo so we can go dance and release the magic gnome from the friggin' bottle for the king who likes to do silly dances.
Dude, that was pretty cool, tying in the whole gnome thing with Gnome Dex being going on right now.
Well, they had this little gnome thing who did the magic in the bottle, and they trapped Swiper in the bottle. And for some reason, Dora wants to release okay, if you've got a character, the protagonist in your story, the person who aggravates you the most, who steals your stuff just to be an absolute friggin' ass in a pimp hat, you've got him trapped in a bottle. Why would you let him go? Throw that shit in the river with a rock.
Okay.
And just, you know, in case...
What?
Just in case anyone doesn't realize, I usually have a Red Bull 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning, because then I get my sugar spike right at there, so I'm fine for the rest of the day and I don't do it at work. I woke up late this morning, so I had my Red Bull about 5 minutes before we started the show. So I'm in the middle of a Red Bull sugar spike.
Okay. I believe you, and I support you.
He says as he takes another sip of Coke.
Ah, yes.
And from what I can tell from Trish in the chat room, she understands exactly what I mean.
Yeah, I think so.
Bear with me one moment, people.
You mean beard with you?
Uh-huh. Actually, that was pretty good. Cheers to you, sir.
Thank you very much.
I'll pay that one.
Good.
Oh,
heavens, this is taking too long.
I'll tell you a funny story while I'm trying to find this. On the a couple of days ago, Lewis Gray posted something about Facebook and Twitter with the real time search and everything like that.
Uh-huh.
And then I said, "Oh no, the real killer app is going to be anyone who can aggregate those two services." So it'll be like aggregated real-time search. And I said, I copyright that, like I'm copywriting that phrase. And then Lewis Gray posted a link shortly after that, said, "Johnny, click here." And it was a link to Google. And he had Googled the phrase aggregated real-time search. There was only one entry. Lewis Gray from the day before.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. And you're like, damn you.
Because I thought, I'd got it. I'm like, yes, I've got it. Because I did it. I did a search, but I didn't put the little, like, two little lines. What are they called? You know when you say something and you put the two little lines at the end and the top thing?
Yeah.
I didn't put that in my search. So it just did an aggregated search of all those terms, not one after the other. So I've done that, and then I've gone, oh, cool, it's right. So I've typed it in, and he's sort of like just totally pimp slapped me and gone, oh, have a look at this one. And literally, like I wrote it out, I was going, damn you, jumping up and down on the floor, stomping, going, damn it, damn it, damn it.
He got you good, man.
Why? Absolutely pwned my ass.
Dude, that was serious pwnage. That's not the kind of pwnage you can just do, like, on the cuff, off the cuff, because it was Google indexed. You know what I'm saying?
He told me it was a complete fluke.
Yeah, yeah.
I completely believe him, but it's like I thought I had hit the head on the nail. I'm like, yes, this has never come up before.
I hereby coined this phrase. Oh, you mean this one?
Yeah, the one I just happened to do yesterday.
It's already like in Google search. Thanks. Yeah.
Thanks for playing. Tell him what he's won, Bill.
He's won a chance to play the moment of win. And with that said, not in Seattle, standing by.
Wishing to be in Seattle, maybe next year, standing by.
And all sleepless as well.
We are. Well...
Sleepless, yeah. Not in Seattle.
Can I be Tom Hanks?
Sure. I always wanted to be Meg Ryan. I'll never leave the house. Okay, see ya.
Let's leave that there, shall we?
And we did.
Okay.
So, moment of win.
In three. And two. And one. And post.
Postage.
Make my girl go right now. I can't make ends meet. I'm always working, slaving every day.
while everyone is partaking in the lulls that flow from such a winning moment, I just wanted to give a quick shout out and take a break about our affiliate sponsor, Moocards.
Yes, please.
Moocards, they create and customize premium business cards, mini cards, postcards, stickers, and other parts of Moo's unique. See, I can't even say our sponsor's name. I should be strung up. Moo's unique variable printing technology, Printaffinity. They print good stuff. We've got a few of them. Josh has got some cards. I've got some cards and some stickers and stuff. We wouldn't recommend them to you guys if we didn't trust them ourselves.
Dude, they're so thick that you could like slice open someone's jugular with them. They're like thick cards, very tough. They can withstand all kinds of stuff. You know,
I used them in an emergency business meeting where I had something stuck in my teeth from lunch, and I had to use a Moo card, and I picked it out of my teeth.
Yeah, I mean, a lesser business card simply would not have done in that situation.
Actually, that's something I'm really having to watch now, because I had a business lunch on Thursday, and looking through the menu, I actually had to not have one of my favorite foods because I thought if I have this lunch and something gets caught in my beard, it will be very, very unflattering for this business meeting I was having. So I did not order one of my favorite foods lest it get caught in my beard. So it is now affecting the way I eat.
Lest. Indeed.
So with that in mind, you can click the link at the top of our chat. There's a affiliate link that goes directly to Moocards, or there's another link on our website, that's fundercats.com, 2S for awesome. Small portion of the purchase goes towards keeping the show running, bandwidth, that type of thing.
Indeed.
No hookers and blow us funded by this type of advertising.
If you happen to link up your Flickr photo account or Facebook photos while you're there, and those are the photos that you want to get printed on cards, for one thing, you can get 100 different cards, of different photos, all at once in one package for the same, $20 that it is to get those mini cards. And also, linking up your account gives a slightly higher commission to the Thundercats cause. For some reason, that's just how they set it up. So while you're there, link up your accounts, and we'll rake in the money. Well,
and
that
rake,
didn't come out.
I mean, by rake, I mean the small child's rake you use at the beach.
Yeah, it really isn't that much, but every little bit counts, and so we appreciate it. And we did manage to raise a little bit so far, so we know that some of you out there have already made purchases through the link, and we appreciate your support. And we hope your cards came out okay.
Yes, so huzzah.
Huzzah, indeed. And so shout out to all the Gnomedex partiers that are getting their party on right now. We mm-hmm. hope you have fun, and we hope you post all kinds of obscenities and strange things to your friend feed account.
Hey, Josh, this is Tad. As I said earlier, I'm drunk. I've been peer pressured into giving you a drunk doll. So here you go. Woo! There you go. That's your ubiquitous or whatever the word is. Prerequisite drunk dial. So since you're Mormon, I had to drink extra just for you. Bye-bye.
Because let's face it, if you post it on Twitter, no one's going to watch. No one's going to look. I mean, Twitter, you see it for a second, it disappears, it's gone forever. But on a friend feed, it lasts forever. People can converse around it, talk about it. So post it on friend feed. Come on. You can do it. Come on. Join us.
One of us.
One of us. You can still have your Twitter. Just also have friend feed.
And but it'd be like the Japanese dojo. Just leave your take your Twitter off your feet just before you come in. We don't want your Twitter on our mat, but it's not like we've got plastic on our chairs.
Correct. And speaking of Japanese and dojo, I finally was able to show my children Karate Kid. They had never seen Karate Kid. So we watched Karate Kid this week. And Exactly. That's exactly why I looked it up too. It was on Netflix streaming. So I was like, okay, let's do this. You know, oh, it's Rukai Daniel-san. And so even before, you know, the big aha when he figured out why he was being Mr. Miyagi's slave, paint the fence, wash the car, you know, they were like, why is he just doing like a whole bunch of work and stuff? Why isn't he learning karate? And I'm like, just wait. It's coming. It's kind of like our podcast. You know, people listen to it. They're like, what the hell are we listening to this podcast for? And we say, just hang on. It's coming. And every now and then we have, you know, something really good to say. I'm just kidding. No, we don't.
you got to show them Karate Kid Part 2.
Yeah, that's next. It's also available on Netflix streaming. And no, we're not an affiliate with Netflix, so don't go buy Netflix today just because of us.
But if they want to be, hi.
Hey. No, just get Netflix because it's actually a pretty good deal for the value. Anyway, but while you're there, get some Moo cards. Okay, well, thanks for another good show, man. And thanks, everybody in the chat room, for hanging out with us on this Friday night / Saturday morning /
Where can people find you, Mr. Josh?
People can find me as far away from you as possible. No. They can find me at friendfeed.com/Josh Haley.
And I'm at friendfeed.com/JayWorthington. And our website is thundercats.com. That's 2S for awesome.
.com.
Did I say .com or did I say something else?
You did. I'm just reiterating and singing.
Oh, cool.
.com.
That would be an awesome way to end everything. Like you could say, like,
welcome to thundercats.com.
We need a sound, a little soundboard for that. .com. Or, dude, that's not cool.
Or an idiot says .com.
And our email is thundercats@gmail.com. That's 2S for awesome.
Awesome.
Which we should register. We should get 2S for awesome.com.
Oh, man. We should.
But they don't know how we spell F.
Someone's going to squat on it right now. Damn it.
That's what she said.